Proverbs 19:7 says, "All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him." This is another proverb that makes a statement of fact, but doesn't really lead us to any profound conclusions. In a worldly sense, it is just a fact that the poor do not have many friends. And as we've pointed out on occasion, when we're talking about the poor, we're not talking about middle class or even lower middle class Americans. These are people who are on skid row, living in the slums, bumming in the ghettos. But you can also see this once in a while in the wealthy neighborhoods, in the man or woman who is about to be evicted and is about to enter life in the slums. In a viral video that resurfaces every so often, Donald Trump was being interviewed by the former PBS talk show host, Charlie Rose. And in that interview, Trump told Charlie that someday he'd like to lose everything for a period of time just to see who is loyal and who is not loyal. And that's really getting at the point of this proverb. If there's one thing I can tell you that I've learned in life, it's that if you have a lot of friends, you don't really have as many friends as you might think. And you can hear the point if you listen closely to the first half of our proverb as I read it again. All the brethren of the poor do hate him, but how much more do his friends go far from him? It's clear that this is said about someone who once was not so poor and had friends, but now that he's poor, his friends go far from him. And then consider the second half of our proverb as we see the sad portrait of a man who's lost it all and is pleading with people he believed to be his friends as they abandon him. Listen, he pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. When a man is down, he finds out who his real friends are, and they're usually few. My lowest point in my Christian life was about 25 years ago, when I was betrayed by the one person who was supposed to be my closest friend. It resulted in my losing every dime that I had. I stepped out of pastoral ministry for several years and served as a teacher and worked in personal evangelism during that time. But I was all but abandoned by friends. I felt the way David did in Psalm 38:11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. And the two people who stuck by me for a time actually tried to bait me and pull me into even more trouble. They turned out to be less like friends and more like agents of Satan to pull me completely away from Jesus and the ministry and to lead me into carnality and sin. So those friendships ended. And sometime later, I tried to reconcile, and they seemed to want nothing to do with me, even though I was, you know, I was being forgiving. I wasn't interested in holding a grudge for their bad influence on me. It didn't matter. So when I read these proverbs, I have the advantage of hindsight into my own experiences, which confirm these things. And that may be true for a good percentage of the hundreds of people who will listen to these devotionals. But the best way to read these proverbs is to learn from them so that you don't have to learn from experience. The School of Hard Knocks is certainly a very good teacher. I'm a graduate. But it's really more like night school or summer school, as they call it, for those of us who flunked out in real life. Because we didn't use God's wisdom from these proverbs. Now, I have to say, there's been many times I have, and I'm thankful for that. But one important point I believe we find here is to choose our friends wisely and be more concerned with the quality of those friends and not so much with the quantity. And I can tell you that I knew when I went through everything that I went through that Jesus never abandoned me, and he is the one loyal friend that we can count on if we know him as Lord and Savior.